John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to start there. That's going to be just the foundation, and everything else will flow from there, I feel like. It's what God wants to say to us this morning. So in John chapter 15, I want to read this. It says, Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." You know, I think we could just stick right there. There's two or three other places that I wanted to read, but I just, for now, the moment at least, I just feel like God's saying stick right there. You know, when we come to Jesus and we're saved, we give him our heart, and he comes and he lives inside of us. There's another scripture, I think it's in John 5, that I wrote down. It talks about Jesus says, "Hey, me and my Father and the Holy Spirit, we're going to come and make our home in you and live in you, and that's how this thing works." And he kind of explains that. And that is it. That's how it works. He lives in us. He makes his home in us. And I don't know about you, but, you know, where you abide, there's a big difference between abiding somewhere and staying somewhere. You can stay somewhere and come and go. Like, I know a man right now that he's works most of the time, and he comes home. He may be home, you know, he gets home really late at night, and he leaves at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's just not home. He works and he does a whole lot of other things, and he has some renters that live nearby him that he has rental property or whatever, and he's there when that's needed, but other than that, he's just not home. He doesn't really abide there. He just kind of stays there. You know, if we go to a motel room, that's just kind of staying there. You know, if we're kind of believers that don't, if as a believer, we have to abide in him. And abiding in him means we live in him. And there's a big difference between us living somewhere. We live with our family, and day in and day out, we know what's going on in one another's lives. We have a home, and just sleeping somewhere, you know what I mean? Just staying. We can go to a motel and just stay somewhere, and there's a big difference between that and going home. And so with Jesus as believers, we've got to be abiding in him. And the difference is really huge, because if you think about it, I just think of this is so simple. But yet we often miss this principle, because especially in our culture, for several reasons, but just to name a couple, we're so busy. We've got so much pressure, most of us. So many things going on. So many things vying for our attention. Work, job, things, whatever. We live in a culture that even if we're not working, the technology is through the roof. Just information and things to do and games to play and shows to watch. I mean, we could be just totally busy and not abiding in him. Be a believer, yes, but instead of abiding in him, and instead of it being like a family situation where you live, it can be like a divorce situation where God's just got visiting hours. He just gets Sunday morning. And for some of us, maybe Wednesday night. Does that make sense? I mean, seriously, you got to think about that. He needs our daily living in him. If we abide in him, he said, He would abide in us, and we would bear much fruit. So it's our choice whether or not we're going to abide in Him. And it's our choice. You know, the other thing, just thinking about the second thing, you know, with God abiding in Him, and He said if we could have, you know, whatever we desired, we could ask, and it would be done for us if we're abiding in Him, right? Yeah, another thing in our culture, we think of like politicians. They're off somewhere in a distance on Capitol Hill. They're supposed to be representing us. And I'm not going to get into any of that. I'm just going to say, they're supposed to be representing us, but they're off in a distance. They don't know us individually, personally. They don't know what's going on in our day-to-day life. So they're making laws and they're making rules from a distance, disconnected from us personally, you and me. However, they're supposed to represent our area and all that stuff. I get that. And I'm not going to get into all that. Not going to knock that. Just going to say, just plain and simple, God is not a politician. He is not off in the distance somewhere. He is not disconnected from you and me. He is right here, right now, offering to be with us, to live with us, to abide in us, to give us whatever we need. We can ask what we desire if we live in Him, if we abide in Him. And it's not just seeing Him once in a while. It's supposed to be, we've got to make that choice. Each individual person, all of us have to make that choice. You know, we can come and do the visitation hours thing. Yeah, we can. We can be a believer and show up for church. That's great that you come to church. It's awesome. But it's not, if that's all it is, then it's off. We're missing the biggest part. The daily life, the daily abiding in Him, the living in Him, the sustaining, you know, like you said, a branch cannot, a limb cannot bear fruit unless it is abiding in the vine. The branches that come off of the thing are getting all their nourishment from the vine. And He is the vine and we are the branches. So if we're not connected and abiding in Him, then we're not pulling nutrients from Him and then bearing His fruit. And, you know, if we are in that place that we're supposed to be and we're abiding in Him and we're spending time in His presence daily, we're setting aside time daily to spend in His Word and to talk to Him, to listen to Him, to listen for Him speaking and to have that relationship, if we're doing those things, then we can't help but bear fruit. A limb that's connected to a vine is going to bear fruit if it's receiving nutrients. Bottom line, it's going to happen. So if we're connected to Him, we're going to bear fruit. Well, fruit's a lot more than just seeing souls saved. It is that, absolutely. And that's huge. That's important. I mean, that's the reason He died, was for us to be able to go out and reach the lost and bring them to Him and do what He did for us and all of that stuff. It is incredible. But it is also love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, kindness, getting along with one another, having good attitudes, being at peace, not being stressed. And there's times when we have a load and there's a lot going on. But if our nutrients are coming from Him, then there is sustaining power in those nutrients. I can tell you now. I have had seasons where I have not been that busy, you know, like a whole lot going on, and been really exhausted, tired, and then had seasons where there's a ton going on and there's not a minute to sit down, but I feel better than I did when there wasn't much going on. Does that make sense? Why? Because it's the difference between whether or not your nutrients are coming from the vine, whether or not that relationship is kept up, whether we keep it by decision connected every day. And when when we feel stressed and we feel strained and we feel like we're off track and things are going sideways, we got to stop and say, okay, look, if you got to go in the bathroom and lock the door, Jesus, I need you to give me some nutrients. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it takes. But it's a heart that says, I want to abide in You. And you know something? Abiding in Him is a learned thing. It's something that we have to train our mind and our heart to do. That when we come to Jesus and we encounter Him and we get salvation and we get that relationship and he comes to live in us, we have to retrain. There's a renewing of our mind that Scripture talks about that we have to do. We have to renew our mind to be focused on him, to be plugged into him, even though we're doing other things, even though life is going on, even though we have jobs, responsibilities, and children. We've got to be able to, in the midst of all of that, at times chaos, to be able to be at peace, to be able to be focused on him. Now, do we mess up sometimes? Sure. But if we're a mess and stressed and it's not going well, and that's 90% of the time, and we're not bearing any fruit, or we're not bearing, at least bearing very, very little fruit, all of the above. You know, if we don't have a time to stop when God says to pray for a person, if we don't have a minute to stop when we need to pray and get, you know, back right, then something's off. We need to stop and get the thing right. We don't want to be branches that are broken off and thrown into the fire. He talked about that. He said, my Father, if a branch doesn't bear fruit, then it's going to be taken off and thrown into the fire, gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. Why? Because it had no relationship, was receiving no nourishment, was making no effort to daily receive nourishment from him and love. And I'm not talking about salvation in that. I'm just simply saying we've got to have that relationship where we're abiding. There's a big difference between that and just staying somewhere. There's a big difference between abiding in him and visiting him. And we live in a culture where technology is rampant, and you know, this quick 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, look at Facebook 10 minutes, get on and play this game 5 minutes. We get used to that culture. We get used to that. Our minds get trained to be that way, and we can inherently become that way with God. And that's where we got to look. We got to step back and say, oh, okay, let me check this out. Is that what I'm doing? I mean, am I just visiting him? Am I just, you know, like when I go to talk to God, is it just like checking Facebook? Seriously, think about it. Or am I really coming to say, hey, what's going on? What do you want to say to me today? What do you want to do today? What's going on, God? What are you thinking today? I want to spend time with you. What's happening? I love you. Is that our heart? Or are we just scrolling through a page to check something? To check off our list. Well, I did it today. There's a big difference. You can pray 2 hours a day. You can read the Word. And you can come to church. And it could be like scrolling through a list if your heart's not connected in what you're doing. Does that make sense? Our heart has to be connected in it. It can't just be motions. It can't just be checking off a list. It's got to mean something. That's what he's saying. If you abide in me, you live with me. We know, you know, having a family and kids and Paul and I, we go throughout our day, we got our phones and we use them and we text each other and we call each other, and I know what she's doing and she knows what I'm doing and we know what is going on in each other's day. We're abiding together. We're not visiting each other. It wouldn't last long if we were just visiting. And it won't with God if we're just visiting him. We can't do that. It doesn't work that way. It can't be that way. He didn't make it. He didn't design it that way. He designed it to have a relationship that is a living, breathing, abiding, daily walk relationship where he's a part of your everyday life throughout the entire day, where our hearts are completely connected to him. It can't be anything less than that. He set the whole thing up where it cannot be anything less than that. It has to be, we give him our whole heart. We engage our whole heart with him. You know, I was thinking too, just about the abiding thing, because when we get off of that, everything gets difficult. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He helps us carry our load. When we're abiding in him and we're walking in that abiding presence and we're focused on him and we're connected, then we're walking in an easier, everything's easier. Is there times when it's difficult? Sure, but even the difficulty is not as difficult for some reason. It's like I was talking about the nutrients. You're receiving more nutrients, so there's a strength that comes from that relationship with Him and abiding in the vine and abiding in His presence and being focused on Him throughout the day and not just getting up, going to work in the morning and just saying, disconnecting from God and, God, I'll be back when I'm done with work and I'm done with everything I got to do. Then we'll talk. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. It's not supposed to be like that. And it's hard. It's not easy. We have to retrain our minds to be different than that. It's just like getting into a relationship with someone. We make them a part of our life. We have to start remembering to make phone calls. We got to start remembering and thinking about sending texts. We got to start thinking about, talking to them and checking on them and seeing how their day's going. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with God. We've got to train our minds and our hearts to keep that relationship up as believers. But we live in a culture that is so drastically different than that, that it is probably one of the number one things as believers that we struggle with. And I don't know that I've heard much about it, to be honest, not at least in this way. And I just felt like God was saying to us to encourage that abiding thing, to encourage that. And just talking about how that makes such a difference. There was, I wanted to share this story with you. A couple things, but I can remember one time when, Paul and I were married. We were missions pastors at a small church, not here, but in Finette, I think it was. And we were there and we had gotten into, or I had gotten into a business deal where we were buying, or someone else was buying a house and I was going to provide doing the labor and the work to fix it up, and it was really rough, and we're going to fix it up so that they could resell it, flip a house, for an investment thing. And things weren't made real clear up front, and there was expectations that were different and off. On our end, that we lived check to check and needed everyone, and on their end, it was an investment. And so what the difference in the expectation was is that I think perception on one end was that we could go without for a while and then when the money come in, it would be fine. But that wasn't the case. And we should have communicated that. And so it got kind of skewed. So there was weeks of work and it was a struggle, financially. And we did get paid some in that, but then it was like there was this long stretch of no pay. And then we had to wait for the house to sell. And meanwhile, we're stretched out. There's nothing. There's nothing coming from nowhere. I have to finish that because I've committed to it and made a commitment to it. So I have to complete it. So I can't go off and work somewhere else to get some income in. So we're out there. I mean, we're as far out on the limb as probably, I don't know. We've probably been further out once, but I don't know for sure. It was way out there. We couldn't pay our rent, some of our bills, stuff. We were struggling. And I was struggling in my heart big time. Because at that time, I really didn't understand. At least maybe in head knowledge I understood, but not in heart knowledge, if that makes any sense to you, how it was to abide in Him. And I hit a brick wall where it was like I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything but finish the commitment that I had made and wait. Couldn't go get another job. We couldn't pay for anything. We couldn't get by. It was not good. And then we were also renting from church people too. So that was even more difficult because it was like if we can't pay our rent, that's going to be bad. So it's like, God, you got to help. But some things came out of my heart that it was like, whoa, where'd that come from? Because at the time I thought, well, you know what? I can work. I'll find a way. But in this situation, it was a brick wall. I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't do nothing. I couldn't pull us out of the hole. And so I remember that I hit a brick wall and we were talking one night and some stuff come out of my heart and mouth and I was frustrated. I was frustrated with being stuck in the situation with where I'd gotten us and that I couldn't get us out and then I wasn't relying on Him. You know what I'm saying? I found myself in a place where I was thinking that I could do it and I had to and I had a responsibility to. and not really, I would say it in head knowledge that I was, but this situation revealed very clearly that I was not. Does that make sense? So, hit that brick wall, hit that revelation, that realization, hit that moment where I'm talking to Paul and the light goes off and I'm like, oh my, I'm off track. So, if I can get this back on track, then maybe God will help me out of this situation. So, I realize that and I'm thinking about this. I'm not abiding in him. I'm off here on my own trying to make this work and trying to fix the mess up that I made and the agreement that I got into and trying to, you know, work it out and with my own two hands and in my own way and all that junk. I realize that. And so I go back and I say, okay, God, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray until you do something because I don't know what to do. And so I finished up the job and fasted and prayed and didn't go work or do anything for several days. I don't know how long it was. I don't remember. A week or 3 or 4 days or something. Was it 2 weeks? Wow. Yeah, it was 2 weeks. So 2 weeks fasting and praying. And for me, I can't handle it. I can't handle not. I like to work. I can't handle. I like you know, being off and having a break too. But do you understand what I'm saying? I can't go. That you want to mess me up, that jacks me up. So God's really putting the screws to this situation in my heart and this abiding thing and this relying on him thing. So God's putting it to me and getting my attention on that. So I'm in that situation and I'm thinking, okay, God, I'm going to pray. So for 2 weeks, I've fasted and prayed. And then all of a sudden, out of that, at the end of that 2 weeks, I get a phone call. And it's a job that normally would pay me a decent amount of money, but in this situation, it's paying me over twice as, well, three times as much as it normally pays. And I got to drive a couple hours to go to get to the job, but I'm getting paid three times more than I normally would get paid for this particular job. And on the way there, well, before getting there, Wednesday night church, we're having church, I get connected with a guy who, when I'm through Paula's brother, gotten connected with a friend of his, and I didn't know it on the way out there. This guy was staying out there in his grandfather's cabin, and he really was hiding out from police and just in trouble and just struggling himself really bad, and I didn't know it. So I didn't know all that. Long story short, her brother says, "Hey, you know, he could help you do the job, and he's right there close to where you're going." And I mean, we're talking this up in by the lake, a couple hours from here. So I mean, what are the chances? You know, that's a God setup. And so I didn't ask any questions. I probably should have, but I didn't. And so I take off up there and pick him up, and I'm getting a motel room, and Paula can't get a hold of me to call and tell me some things, and so I'm. You know, my phone's not working, and he says to me, "Well, just, I got the cabin over here. Just come stay with me." And so I'm like, "Okay." So I canceled my thing, and I'm got my stuff over there, and he comes to work with me. Well, for two solid days, I started that morning in arranging the motel room cancellation and going and setting my stuff up with him and all of that. I'm sharing my testimony with him. And the presence of God starts coming on him. And for that whole day, we didn't work. So I have 2 weeks without work. We need pay. And I'm here. And God's got me in this situation with this guy that needs an encounter with him. And I can't start working. And I mean, I'm just sharing my testimony and you know, talking to him, and we're all the way up to the point where we're standing in the living room of this vacant house, and I'm laying my hand on his shoulder to pray for him, and I'm praying in tongues and out loud, and there's a lot of wild stuff going on. Let's just say that. I mean, God's showing up, there's demonic stuff going on everywhere, and the back door of the house opens, and it's the contractor over the job. And he don't have a clue, and he hadn't met me yet. And he walks in the back door, and the guy that I'm praying for runs and jumps out the window of one of the bedroom doors and goes and hides in the car. So the contractor comes in, and he didn't say a word. I mean, he just walks around real awkwardly, and I'm really awkward, you know, because I don't know what to expect. I mean, the guy's got a beer in his hand, and he's just, you know, walking around, and he's like, you know, we're both thinking, yeah, what the heck's going on here? But he come in, and he's real uncomfortable, so he's like, okay, I guess you got it. I'll come back and check on you later, and he leaves. That's after he checked the closet of the bedrooms and stuff. I didn't know that the guy jumped out the window. Thank God he did, because if he'd been curled up in the closet, we probably would have had an issue. But he was gone. So the guy leaves. I go out there, and I find him, and he comes back in, and we start all over again. It was like the interruption totally hit reset, and we're back at square one again, going through, because it was a spiritual warfare. It was salvation. It was encounter with Jesus, and it was a battle. And so we start again and get back to praying. And that night, the next day, about 11 o'clock, I guess the next day, finally we're back in the living room, same spot in the thing. And I'm praying for him, and he's giving his heart to Jesus. He makes a commitment to him, and he's saying, I want to be free, and I want the Holy Spirit. So he gets filled with the Holy Ghost. He gets saved right there. He ended up just blasted by God, changed, and radically changed. And I ended up bringing him home, and he stayed with us a little while. But he's doing great today. He's got a family. He's got kids. I mean, this guy was, I don't know how long, on methamphetamine, completely drugged out, running from the police, warrants for his arrest. He's got a steady job now. He's got a family. He's got kids. You know what I'm saying? God's restored a life. Why am I saying that? Because if we abide in him, you know, here's the other thing. Okay, there was 2 days of no work getting done on this job that should have took three. I couldn't start till... the most important thing was this life, his life. That was the most important thing. However, we had this incredibly huge pressing need for me to get done. But what I'm trying to tell you is that if you abide in him, he'll provide. We finished the job quickly, more quickly than normal. It paid more than normal. And all of it worked out. We were able to pay everything, get out of the jam. Everything worked. God provided for every bit of it. But if I had kept trying to do it with my own two hands, my own way, without him, we would have crashed. We were already in a nosedive. Does that make sense? But abiding in him, if we just stop sometimes and make sure that we're abiding, that we're pulling our nutrients from him, whatever that reset button for you is that you need. Obviously, I was pretty hard, pretty stubborn. And it took a couple weeks and a real hard situation for me to go, okay. But whatever your reset is, if you're in that place and you need that reset button to push, if it's fasting and praying, didn't have to take 2 weeks for you. I don't know. God did that. But I'm saying all that to say this. We've got to be abiding in him. If we're not, number one, check. See where your heart is if you're abiding in him. And if you're not, hit the reset button. Find out what it is and make sure that you plug into him and get this abiding thing, this living in his presence day to day, minute to minute, hour to hour thing right. Because everything depends on that relationship.